Now, let's get back now to the 22nd of September 1989. Can you tell me how your day shaped out?
I was actually going into the office that morning and I'd had a very bad night, and I phoned in at about 8:10 to say that I wouldn't be in because I was feeling so awful. And then about 12 minutes later I heard this blast, which sounded a bit like the Maroon, as if the lifeboat was being called out. And as I'm sure people are aware, there's always a second one. And I waited and it didn't happen. So I phoned the switchboard and just said, has something happened there? Because I was waiting for the second blast for the Maroon and it didn't happen. And the chap Tony on the telephone said, no, there has been a problem. And until this day, I feel quite selfish because Richard, my husband, was obviously walking our dogs in the vicinity at the time. And the first thing was, have you heard from my husband since it happened? And he said, no, sorry, ma'am, that he hadn't. So I immediately put on this grotty pair of jeans and a rugby shirt and ran all the way to my husband's office to find that everything was, taking off. And they weren't obviously aware at that time how many casualties there were. So I then took our dogs back home, left them with the woman that was there in the house, who was brilliant. She immediately said, right. And I said, well, I'm going to have a bath and I need to get into something smart. And isn't that a funny feeling? You think, I've got to take charge. So immediately got dressed into something very smart, went back to the barracks and did what I could possibly do. And then it was arranged that we would have a meeting place in the sergeant's mess for families and wives and friends and any others who were obviously going to be involved in it. And we set up a camp there, so to speak, just so that we could give comfort to everyone that was there.
What sort of time were you down in the barracks?
I would think about 9:25. And
Right.
then I went home again, and I was back within half an hour.
And was it quite clear at that stage that there had been
Oh, there was a
casualties?
problem. And I actually went to where the bombing had happened and was seeing people being pulled out at that point.
And at what stage after that were sort of relatives and next of kin beginning to appear?
It seemed almost immediately. I wouldn't have thought it was any more than a couple of hours. I mean, I was certainly back in the sergeant's mess, I would think, by 11 o'clock. So things had been set up pretty rapidly.
Did you know at that stage anybody who had been killed or
We
casualty?
didn't, and Richard had specifically asked when it was found out if any had died, that he wanted to tell the families. And I think on some occasions that didn't happen. Somebody got the wrong end of the stick and Richard was doing something, and I think it was the welfare officer that had mentioned to them. But it's sad because, as I said, you get to know people. I mean, one of the wives, whose husband sadly died, Mandy McMillan, she was there with her mother, and there was one of the other women who worked in our human resources office at P&O. She was involved with one of the other chaps. And it's very sad in a situation like that not to become involved. And you try not to become personally involved, but I find it an impossibility. I think that you've got to be personally involved, otherwise I wouldn't be doing my job, I don't think.
So people from the outside would come who were involved and wanted to know. What would be the procedure?
Well, we sat them in the sergeant's mess and they were given coffees, and then as soon as we heard, they were obviously taken aside and advised. And that, I think, was very sad because you can see people not coming back in to the room and knowing that obviously they'd had bad news.
Yes, I was going to ask that. Once they got the bad news, they tended to go
Yes,
away.
very much so.
And you were there for how long during that day?
All day. I didn't go home. I stayed there all day, and I was back first thing on the Saturday morning to do the same again.
Did you personally experience a sense of shock or anger or what? Were you
I think
surprised that this
both.
had happened?
Yes, I was surprised. I just would never have thought that it would happen. Why? I don't know why. Possibly because they were musicians and they weren't in combat, and the only time they would be on the front line was as stretcher bearers, or so they were perfectly innocent personnel, wonderful musicians, who the country has lost so much by these 11 people dying, because they were all wonderful musicians in their own rights.
You were there, obviously, doing your bit as commanding officer's wife, which is marvellous. Did you get other wives who came in and supported?
Oh, yes, very much so. John Perkins' wife, Kay, she was there. There were others. Liz Ware, whose husband John was the principal director of music at the time, unfortunately, she couldn't get in from Dover, and I don't know whether it was transport, because the streets were all absolutely jam-packed, and she didn't actually get there until the Saturday. But isn't it funny, because you don't even think along these lines. My main concern was to make sure that I was doing what any good service wife would do, looking after the families, because my husband's job was to look after the men.
Any thoughts more on that day? Do you think any more could have been done, or were you impressed by the way the fire and the ambulance?
I was very impressed by all of the services. We had a chap, the crane driver, and he was nicknamed CD as crane driver, and his mate was CDM, crane driver's mate, and they were all amazing. The local doctors came in, the fire brigade were wonderful. This crane driver was absolutely amazing. And the other thing, I think, I know that my husband's modest, but when Prince Philip was coming down on the Sunday, Richard had arranged for people like the crane driver and his mate to be there to be introduced. So it wasn't just officers that were going to be introduced to the Duke of Edinburgh. There were all of these people that had done such a fabulous job throughout that morning, and indeed into the day as the afternoon wore on.